You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following every Bulls game, and the host of the 312 on AM 1590 WCGO. My partner, Jordan Malley, is out today, but he'll be back on Monday. Just a reminder, as always, that we are live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app on the Nothing But Net channel every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Follow us on social media at Locked On Bulls, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Jordan C. Malley. Also follow us on Instagram at Locked On Bulls, on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. And a reminder that you should also be following our brother programs, Locked On Bears. Lauren Cox doing great work there as the Bears are getting ready for a huge game. Sunday Night Football flex into primetime, welcoming the NFC leading Los Angeles Rams to Soldier Field. Huge game Sunday. Check out Lauren Cox and the great work he's doing at Locked On Bears. And also my guy Sean Sears doing Locked On Cubs with Ryan Davis. Those guys doing great work talking about all of the different storylines of MLB hot stove season. So, as I said, Jordan is out today, so I'll just be doing a short solo episode previewing the back-to-back games we have on deck for the Bulls this weekend, starting tonight against the hard-charging Oklahoma City Thunder, and then a rematch of what was a pretty pathetic game and a bad loss to the Boston Celtics from earlier this season. That's on Saturday. So we'll take a look at this OKC matchup, this team's strengths, and how the Bulls might be able to stay in this one, because they certainly won't be favored. And then we'll take a look back at what went wrong in that Bulls first game against the Celtics and take a look at what the Celtics have been up to recently. So with that, as I said, a huge task lies ahead of the Bulls tonight to try and stay close with a Thunder team that is coming into this one on a four-game winning streak and looking like one of the best teams in the league right now. They have the fourth best defense in the league if you're talking about points per game. And if you're talking about defensive efficiency, that rank is even higher. Not only that, they are the best offensive rebounding team in the league. And that spells danger and doom for a Bulls team that has really struggled on the defensive glass all season long. One of the first words out of Jim Boylan's mouth when he talked to the press for the first time since getting the head coaching job was talking about trying to fix this Bulls team's weakness on the defensive glass. Steven Adams is averaging nearly 5 offensive rebounds per game himself for this team that leads the league in offensive rebounding. That will certainly be a key to tonight's game. Can Wendell and Markkanen and this team as a whole, including, you know, Jabari Parker, actually, to his credit, is leading the Bulls in rebounding so far this season at, I believe, 7.4, 7.5 per game. He'll need to chip in. Justin Holiday will need to chip in. We'll see if the rookie Chandler Hutchison gets any real minutes in this game. He's been strong on the glass, but that's going to be big for tonight's game. And then, of course, the big story for the Thunder coming into this one as they come in as being tied for the third best record across the NBA at 16-7 is the recent surge of Paul George, who, you know, despite what everybody is talking about with the leading MVP candidate so far this season, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Steph Curry, Kawhi Leonard with the surging Toronto Raptors, who currently lead the East, Anthony Davis for the Pelicans. Paul George hasn't gotten a whole lot of MVP talk. Certainly looks like he's going to be a shoe-in for all-defensive team, and he could also be an all-NBA caliber player this season. He's leading the team, not Russell Westbrook, at 24.3 points per game. Russ is averaging just over 22 points per game. So, of course, that star duo certainly getting things done for this team. Dennis Schroeder, a new addition to this OKC Thunder team, leading the team with 5 assists per game. And, of course, I mentioned the monster in the middle, Steven Adams. So we saw Paul George put on a hell of a performance on Wednesday night, dropping, what was it, like 46 points in their win against Brooklyn on Wednesday on the road. And that was a come-from-behind victory. The Thunder, I believe, were down 18 at one point in the fourth quarter, and Paul George basically just took over. I mean, it was Michael Jordan-level kind of stuff, where he just decided that he was going to take over that game and he was going to go win that game for his team. Scored 23 points in the fourth quarter to lead the Thunder back, including hitting a dagger game-winning three with about 3 seconds left in that game. Amazing stuff that we're seeing from Paul George recently. And honestly, I'm not trying to be pessimistic, but if you look at this Bulls team right now and who we have, who on this team can guard him? Because I think the answer, sadly, is no one. This Bulls team, I don't know what Jim Boylan is going to do. I don't know what he's going to try. He's probably going to try to put a bunch of different people on Paul George. And you run the risk of doubling him. Because guess what? Russell Westbrook is still on this team. And Russell Westbrook is still, even though Paul George is leading this team in scoring this year, one of the most dangerous scorers in the league. You can't let Russ do what Russ does, and you can't let Russ go off. The Bulls are going to have to essentially, take your pick. Who do you want to try to contain tonight? Because you certainly can't contain Paul George and Russell Westbrook. I would not be surprised, honestly, if those guys combine to score 70-plus tonight. Certainly seems within the realm of possibility. So clearly this is a talented Thunder team, and, you know, the duo of Paul George and Russ will be hard to stop. But this Thunder team, for their defensive dominance this season, for all of the amazing things that Steven Adams has done for them in the paint and grabbing this team all kinds of second chance opportunities with his offensive rebounds, they do have a weakness, and they do have a window that they might be able to leave the Bulls tonight as far as the Bulls staying in this game. And of course, a lot of that comes to what can the Bulls do against this great Thunder team offensively, the great Thunder defense. We'll get to that in a second. But as far as what the Bulls and Boylan will try to do to slow down the Thunder, he's got to try to force them into being a three-point shooting team. That is the key weakness to this Thunder team offensively. They are the second worst three-point shooting team in the league as far as percentage. They're shooting just 31.6% from downtown this season, which is better than only the abysmal Atlanta Hawks. And a big part of that, Russell Westbrook. The guy has always wanted to believe in himself as being a three-point shooter and a three-point threat, but it has never truly been a dangerous part of his game, nowhere close to his ability to attack the basket. Russ is shooting just over or around 5 three-pointers per game this season, and he's hitting them at just a 22% clip. So that right there, to me, is an opportunity for the Bulls to try and slow them down. And I know it's a lot to ask, and I know that it's not like this Bulls defense is all of a sudden going to improve overnight just because Jim Boylan took over for Fred, and Boylan has always been the defensive guy. Look, Boylan was leading this Bulls team defensively from the get-go this season. So it's not like you're going to see some crazy shift in the Bulls being not a very good defensive team or a defensively efficient team. And they have been one of the worst defensively efficient teams in the league so far. And that is under the guidance of Jim Boylan. So yeah, we saw some amped up levels of effort in their game against the Pacers, in which they were able to hold an opponent to under 100 points. And you certainly saw guys a little bit tired in the second half because of how much defensive energy they were expending in the first half. So at least we can hopefully expect a continuation of that effort. And Jim Boylan has already, after being head coach for less than a week, been running his guys ragged, making them do suicide sprints in practice, running 2.5 hour long practices. So he's trying to get that conditioning back. And maybe, you know, you're not going to see those results overnight. So I don't know how much better the Bulls will look defensively tonight outside of just an added level of effort and intensity. And even from guys like Jabari Parker, who have been a plague of this team's defensive effort to start the season. But to me, there it is. Like, there is your chance to keep yourselves in this game. Do what you can to contain Paul George and try to turn Russell Westbrook into an inefficient three-point shooter tonight. That's what it is. And on top of that, if you do get Russ to try and be a hero ball three-point shooter tonight and he's missing those shots, for the love of God, keep Steven Adams off that offensive glass. Because, you know, Russ jacking up a bunch of threes and missing them, that doesn't help your defense if you can't get the defensive rebound. And as I said, that's been a key hole for this Bulls team so far. And as far as the Bulls offensively tonight, I know there's a lot of panic going around Bulls Twitter and people talking to us on our Locked On Bulls text thread about what Jim Boylan's comments about slowing this team down offensively is going to do and how it might hinder Zach LaVine and the up-tempo offense that we have seen at times from the Bulls this season. I'm not panicking yet. I definitely want to get a sample size of at least a handful of games, 5 to 10 games, of watching this Bulls team play offensively under Jim Boylan before hitting any kind of panic button. But we have seen a less aggressive Zach LaVine in their past couple of games since Markkanen's return. And when I say less aggressive, I'm just saying he's not necessarily attacking the basket as much. He's not taking as many shots. His shot attempts per game have gone down in those two games, whereas Markkanen's shots have certainly been ramped up from his first to his second game back. But you're seeing Zach LaVine dish out a bunch of assists. I'm okay with that. I don't know where Jim Boylan is going to try to attack this Thunder team defensively. Are we going to see some Markkanen stuff in the post? Because Markkanen nailed 5 threes in their game on Tuesday night, but we really didn't see too much of Markkanen going to work in the post. We did see a couple of times where he and Wendell played off each other well and were able to get some looks inside, but that was about it. So where does Boylan attack this very strong Thunder defense? Because, you know, LaVine could beat most people in this league off the dribble, but you have to imagine that Paul George is going to take Zach LaVine tonight. And Paul George is one of the best defensive players in this league. So I don't think LaVine hero ball is going to work all that well tonight. And who's going to try and guard Markkanen? Is that going to be Steven Adams' task? I'm not sure. They might mix it around. But clearly, Zach LaVine trying to jack up 25 shots tonight against Paul George, that's not going to get it done. You hope that LaVine does make him run around to try and, you know, tire out Paul George on the defensive end so that he can't kill you as much on the offensive end. I know that much will certainly be part of Jim Boylan's plan tonight. But then, again, that goes back to, well, if Boylan wants the Bulls to slow things down and you're not going to get out there and try and run up and down, then how much can you really tire out this efficient Thunder defense? That's kind of the crux of how I see this game playing out tonight. Are the Bulls really going to slow it down into a half-court style of play when they're on offense? Because, you know the Thunder like to get out and run. And, this Bulls transition defense, another part of what Boylan said has been a big problem so far, they'll have their hands full. Because whether it's Paul George leading the break or Russell Westbrook leading the break or even Dennis Schroeder pushing the pace when he can, you know the Thunder are going to try and get out and run at times. How will Boylan respond to that? I think, sadly, this one could get out of hand tonight. Yes, the Bulls are at home after a long road trip, and the Thunder are finishing up a 3-game road trip themselves. So the Thunder might be a little road weary tonight. But, they had a full day and a morning to recover from their late dramatic win over Brooklyn on Wednesday. They'll be pretty much fully rested coming into this game. And I mentioned the Thunder's defensive efficiency and the lack of offensive efficiency from the Bulls so far, that there's a wide gap there. And the The battle of the boards, that will be huge. Trying to slow down Paul George, who's been an offensive juggernaut recently, and maybe trying to wear him out a little bit on the defensive end, which will be dictated by just how fast or slow Boylan wants the Bulls to play offensively tonight. But either way, looking forward to another game of getting Lauri Markkanen back in the fold. A quick update as far as the other pieces the Bulls are waiting on to make their returns. I heard from NBC's Kelly Kroll earlier today via tweet after their morning shoot-around that Bobby Portis and Chris Dunn, who Boylan said yesterday were maybes for tonight's game, are not going to play tonight. We might get them back in the second end of that back-to-back against the Celtics tomorrow night, but no Bobby and no Chris for tonight's game against the Thunder. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk about that other game, the second end of the back-to-back taking on the Boston Celtics, looking for a little revenge after an embarrassing loss to the Seas earlier this season. You're listening to Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Stick around. We'll be back in 60 seconds. Welcome back into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Matt Peck. As I said, Jordan is out today, so I'm holding down the fort solo. Jordan should be back on Monday. And in our first segment, we took a look at the upcoming matchup with the Thunder tonight. And then after tonight's game, the Bulls are back in action for the second end of a homestand back-to-back against the Celtics on Saturday night. That's another 7 p.m. tip-off at the United Center. So, first of all, let's go back and look at what happened the first time the Bulls met the Celtics earlier this season. It wasn't pretty. This was one of a stretch of games in which the Bulls were plagued by one woeful quarter. And in this one, it was the second quarter. The Bulls actually jumped out to a 24-19 lead over the Celtics after the first 12 minutes. And then a 32-11 second quarter buried our Bulls. You go back and look at the box score from that game, and really it's not like any of the Celtics went off and had a monster game. Kyrie Irving was a fairly chill 17 points, but on a very efficient 6-for-8, and really it was just a balanced attack from the Celtics all night. All five of their starters in double figures, Jaylen Brown leading with 18, as I said, Irving 17, 14 from Tatum, 11 from Hayward, and 10 from Al Horford. They also got 12 from Rozier off the bench on what was a very productive night for that Celtics second unit. When you look at the Bulls box score, it's never a good sign if Shaq Harrison in garbage time bench minutes is your team's leading scorer for the night. And that was the case. Shaq Harrison, 16 points in 23 minutes on 7 of 10 shooting, highest score for the Bulls on this night. Zach LaVine, a very quiet night, just 3 of 11 from the floor and 4 of 4 from the free throw line for 10 points. He had 9 rebounds, but just 4 assists and 4 turnovers. So not a great night for LaVine in that distributor and a facilitator role that he's been asked to play in Dunn's absence. Jabari as a starter, 14 points on 6 of 13, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. 5 turnovers. So 9 turnovers between LaVine and Parker on this night. And really, other than that, there wasn't much to talk about. This was just a bad, bad night for the Bulls. And I think, you know, this was the Celtics coming home after a long road trip that did not go well for them. So they're playing a weak opponent, finally coming home. And the Bulls just ran into a buzzsaw. I kind of saw this one coming. So 111-82 was the final score. The Celtics, even in junk time, outscored the Bulls in the fourth quarter by 11 points. So this one was not pretty. However, of course, fast forward to the present and tomorrow night's game, and things are a little bit different. We were without Lauri Markkanen when these teams first played. So first things first, put Markkanen in that Bulls starting lineup and put Jabari Parker back in that second unit, where after being a starter for a handful of games, as once Bobby Portis went down, Boylan is comfortable saying, I want Jabari to run that second unit. And he looked okay going back to that role in their game on Tuesday night. So there's that. We also might be getting back Bobby Portis and Chris Dunn, either or both of whom are close to returning and were even maybe considered to be active for tonight's game against the Thunder. As I said, we just got that update at around 12:30 Central Time on Friday afternoon, that they will not play tonight. But it is possible, if not even probable, that Dunn and Bobby will be active tomorrow night against the Celtics. So certainly there is some more help for you. You assume that Markkanen will stay in that starting lineup, Wendell will stay at center, and Bobby will add into the offensive contributions of Jabari Parker and that second unit that's really been minimal and lacking of really any offensive threats, especially once Fred and now still Jim Boylan have sent Antonio Blakeney to the deepest depths of the doghouse and the end of the bench. So you might get those pieces back, and there might be a rocky reintegration period of Dunn being this team's primary ball handler and facilitator, but you have to assume that Boylan is smart enough that if they do get Dunn back for this game against the Celtics, he's not going to immediately ask Chris Dunn to do everything as far as being the team, being the guy to run this team offensively. They're still going to run some of their stuff through Zach LaVine because they'd be dumb not to. The question there is, how does Boylan handle the fact that Chris Dunn off the ball is really not much of a threat? He can't shoot three-pointers, and he can't do much of anything else as a guy who's not being your pass-first point guard. So how do you stagger Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine to where maybe at least one of those two is always on the floor, and Dunn can look to get his offense going when Zach LaVine needs some breaks? I think that's probably the best way to go about it, especially not asking Dunn to do too much in his first game back. And then there's the change of what the Celtics have been doing. As I mentioned, when these teams played each other last month, they were still rolling with Gordon Hayward as part of that starting lineup. And why wouldn't they start the season that way? After missing all of last season when he broke his ankle in the first game of that 17-18 season, came into this season healthy, and was a free agent that they brought to Boston to be a guy who is all-star caliber player and for sure one of your starting five. But in his absence, and even in part of Kyrie's absences last season, we saw this young core emerge for the Celtics. The meteoric rise of Jason Tatum, his sidekick Jaylen Brown, all these great young pieces that they have, and of course the ever-consistent Al Horford, who's going to get you a double-double every night. It's almost like the Celtics have too much good stuff. And Brad Stevens has been trying to figure out this season how best to use it, how to use it most efficiently. And that's why I think a lot of people were surprised when all of a sudden we're 20 games or so into the season and the Celtics are, you know, barely 500 in the middle of the pack in a weak Eastern Conference. Like, what the hell was going on there? And I think it was just a matter of trying to, like, trying to get Hayward to fit in to a Celtics team that looked like it didn't necessarily need him to be one of the better teams in the East last season. And that's why you hear all sorts of trade rumors about, like, hey, maybe the Celtics team just doesn't need Gordon Hayward and could get a really nice, you know, stash of picks to add to this already very impressive young core they have. So, I mean, we'll see what happens there. But in the meantime, over the last stretch of games, I believe since November 19th, when they moved Gordon Hayward to the bench, the Celtics team has started to look pretty darn good. They blew out the Knicks last night, and they were looking very efficient offensively. Beautiful ball movement, lots of easy transition buckets. Kyrie Irving doing his thing. He is playing with a little bit of a banged-up shoulder right now, but the latest we've heard from Kyrie is that he's not too concerned about it. He should be good to go for this game tomorrow night. And, man, the Celtics bench, since Gordon Hayward has gone to play with that unit, that second unit, is the third-best bench in the league when you're talking about plus-minus differential. Third-best bench in the league on a team that has a pretty darn good starting five, even when Stevens opted to put Hayward as a part of that second unit. That's smart coaching. In a way, it's kind of, you know, it's all, not quite a like mirror situation to the Bulls deciding to pay Jabari Parker a bunch of money and find out that his best role, as gifted of a scorer as he might be, was to play with the team's second unit. But that's kind of a similar situation to what Hayward and the Celtics are working out right now. But it certainly has seemed to work for them. They certainly look to be a more efficient team in both units, the starting five and their second unit, on both ends of the floor. Sometimes the second unit just needs that guy to lead them. And Hayward, if he's cool with it, as far as his ego is concerned, certainly seems to be that guy. We're dealing with a certain similar situation with the Bulls right now, and hoping that Jabari Parker is okay with, and not just okay with, but ready to embrace this idea that Jim Boylan has, that Fred Hoiberg had as well, which is, look, we know that Jabari will be much more efficient if he's playing minutes at the four and not at the three. And we have our starting four, obviously. So let's let Jabari be the go-to guy and the lead scorer of our second unit. It, you know, $20 million be damned. And in Gordon Hayward's case, I can't remember what his contract with the Celtics is, but it's definitely a big one. Go be the guy to lead that second unit and do it well. For the Bulls, you know, we'll see. We'll see how Jim Boylan, who earlier this week was reported to be the Jabari Parker whisperer, who Jabari actually has a great relationship with, can get Jabari to continue to buy in. And speaking of that other guy I mentioned who might be coming back tomorrow night for this game against the Seas, Bobby Portis, what does Boylan do with the rotation in the front court when Bobby Portis is back healthy and your starting front court is Markkanen and Wendell? Clearly it means that, you know, we've probably seen the last of Robin Lopez, and certainly we've seen the last of Felicio, except for the last 2 minutes of a game when the Bulls are, you know, down by 20 to 30 points. So where do Jabari and Bobby stack up as far as minutes off the bench? Because we saw Bobby Portis straight out beat Jabari Parker for the starting power forward role once Markkanen went down in training camp. So to Fred Hoiberg's estimation, Bobby Portis was a better fit for starters' minutes than Jabari Parker. Better fit for a spot in the starting lineup than Jabari Parker. But that changes with the return of Markkanen. So how does Jim Boylan evaluate that? And does he do so starting with this game tomorrow night against the Celtics? Is that going to be part of his game plan, is figuring out where does Bobby Portis get his minutes? Now that Markkanen's back, Bobby's back, and you still have Jabari. So that might be a storyline for this Bulls-Celtics rematch on Saturday night. Hopefully the Bulls will be able to make this one a little bit closer, because it's not just Zach LaVine playing with a bunch of tired scrubs. And the Bulls will have the home court advantage this time, to whatever extent you believe that that matters. Hey, the Bulls might be 5-20, but there are still people packing that United Center. They may not be very tuned in and clued into the game, but they're butts in the seats, and you know that the front office and management and ownership are always happy about that. So it'll be tough for the Bulls they're probably going to be in a position of trying to bounce back, because I think they're going to get their butts kicked by the Thunder tonight. I just think that that's how that game's going to play tonight. So this might be another test of Jim Boylan getting his team to respond after an ugly loss, which Fred did well sometimes so far this season and did not do well in other instances. So there it is. We got the Thunder tonight, Celtics tomorrow, both games 7 p.m. Central Time tip-off. And by the way, if the Bulls are down big late in this game tonight, there is another game that you might want to keep your eye on. Nationally televised, 8:30 Central Time tip-off on ESPN, Warriors-Bucks. I don't know about you, but I am going to watch the shit out of that game. The Bucks actually upset the Warriors a few weeks back. And not just in, you know, narrowly upset them, they ran them off the floor. It was a Warriors team playing without Draymond Green, and we all know what he does for that team. And he'll be out again tonight with his toe injury. At the Steph Curry being back, huge story. Steph missed most of the second half of that game against the Bucks. He has come back and come back with a vengeance, dropped 42 points on Wednesday night in their blowout win over the Cavs. So, the Greek Freak versus KD. Chris Middleton in the mix, doing great things for the Bucks this season. And Steph Curry back in action. That is a great game. Should be a great game tonight. So, if you don't want to watch the final 12 minutes of the Bulls getting their butts kicked by the Thunder tonight, check out Warriors-Bucks, 8:30 Central Time tip-off on ESPN. That's it for today's show. Thanks for watching. For my co-host, Jordan Malley, who will be back on Monday, Matt Peck saying thanks, as always, Bulls Nation, for listening. We appreciate y'all. And by the way, as we watch these games tonight and tomorrow, send us your comments and questions on that text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Continue to give us your impressions on the Bulls under new head coach Jim Boylan, what we see from them tonight, any takeaways from the Celtics game tomorrow. Keep them coming. We love to interact with you, our fellow fans. We'll be sure to do a mailbag episode sometime next week. Have a great weekend, Chicago. We will be back on Monday. Bear down on Sunday. Huge game, Bears-Rams. Let's get it done. For Jordan, I'm Matt. Peace. Talk to you Monday, Bulls Nation. We out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.